An NTSB report says an instructor warned his student prior to a fatal crash. An emergency flare is fired at an Australian medevac helo. And a U.S. Airways-American merger could harm consumers. This is Aero News for Thursday, August 9, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The factual report produced by the NTSB from an October 25, 2010 accident near Lander, Wyoming, and issued Wednesday, contains a statement from the pilot's instrument flight instructor, which indicates he cautioned the pilot about flying in mountainous regions with limited experience. The pilot, who lived in Minneapolis, and his three sons were all fatally injured when the Mooney M20J they were aboard went down in IFR conditions in the mountains. The wreckage was not discovered until a week after the accident occurred. In the NTSB factual report, the CFI explained to the NTSB that during the course of training to prepare the pilot for his commercial check ride, the pilot informed the CFI of his plans to fly the accident airplane to Jackson Hole in late October, and that he would take the commercial certificate flight test once he returned. The CFI reported that he advised the pilot about the potential hazards of a flight in that airplane, in that area, and at that time of year. The CFI reported that he specifically cautioned the pilot that since the airplane was not turbocharged or pressurized and was not equipped for flight into known icing, there was a consequent need for the pilot to plan and operate any flights accordingly in order to provide sufficient safety margins and escape options. According to the CFI, the pilot told him that he had conducted flights to that location several times and was cognizant of the risks. You can read the entire NTSB factual report on our website at www.aero-news.net. A rescue helicopter owned by the state of Western Australia was on approach for a landing at Jandakot Airport in Perth on Tuesday night, local time, when an emergency flare was fired from about 600 feet away from the aircraft. The Western Australia newspaper reported that the flare came within 90 to 120 feet of the aircraft, flying at about 1,000 feet AGL at the time of the incident. To make matters worse, the helo was transporting a patient who had been injured in a farming accident when the incident occurred. The Australian Broadcasting Company reports that pilot Michael Perrin said the flare could have prevented him from landing the aircraft safely, but Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority said it has no jurisdiction in the matter. They said the issue was one for local authorities to handle. Australian pilots reportedly are experiencing the same issues with lasers directed at aircraft that pilots in the U.S. are reporting. Police have described those who would direct a laser at an aircraft cockpit and now who would discharge a flare in the vicinity of an airport as idiots for endangering the lives of those on board aircraft. The incident is under investigation by the local police. A new report says a merger between U.S. Airways and American Airlines would reduce competition and could lead to higher fares for passengers. Released on Wednesday, the report was produced by the nonprofit think tank American Antitrust Institute in Washington and by the Business Travel Coalition, which represents company travel managers. In essence, the report says a merger could be bad for consumers because it might reduce competition, create strongholds at key airports, and lead to higher fares, according to a report in the Los Angeles Times. American officials refused to comment on the report, but Scott Kirby, president of U.S. Airways Group, said quite the contrary. A merger would help both airlines compete against larger carriers like United and Delta and give the flying public more options. American, the nation's fourth largest carrier, has been the subject of merger talks ever since its parent company, AMR, filed for bankruptcy in November 2011. U.S. Airways, the fifth largest carrier, has made no secret of its desire for a merger. A Bell 214ST, serving as a testbed for new helicopter technologies, went down Tuesday in Ellis County, Texas, after its tail rotor apparently failed. The pilot and the second crewman were reportedly uninjured after making what was described as a near-textbook-perfect emergency landing in the stricken aircraft, only to have it tip over onto its side when one of the wheels dug into the dirt of the cotton field where it went down. An initial investigation indicates that the aircraft lost power to the tail rotor or it failed structurally. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that the accident is being investigated by the NTSB and Bell Helicopter. A company spokesman would not provide any details about the accident or the technology being tested on the aircraft, which was originally designed in the late 1970s for use by the military. Bell had acquired the accident aircraft 2 years ago, specifically for use as a testbed for components which may eventually show up in the 525 Relentless helicopter and other aircraft. One company source told the paper that the aircraft was heavily instrumented and transmitting data to engineers on the ground when the accident occurred. The tail rotor assembly had not been located as of late Tuesday. When Aero News continues, too much celebrating at the Olympics, perhaps? Oops, wrong airport. And a gold medal story that really counts.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday. It's August the 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Qantas is investigating an incident which took place last week in which a pilot was removed from the cockpit of a B-767 just before takeoff because she had failed an alcohol test. Through a spokesperson, the airline would only confirm that the captain was, quote, withheld from service for administrative reasons, end quote, according to a report in the London Telegraph. They would not make further comment on an ongoing investigation. The flight crew alerted flight operations about their suspicion that the captain had been drinking as the flight was taxiing to the runway, according to a story appearing in the Sydney Morning Herald. The plane was recalled to the gate, and a replacement captain was placed aboard the aircraft for the flight. The Australian Civil Aviation Safety Authority said that the airline confirmed that the captain had tested positive for alcohol. The pilot has been suspended until the investigation is completed. A Silver Airways Saab 340 Turbo landed at Fairmont Municipal Airport in West Virginia Tuesday. Now, normally that would not be news, but the commuter airliner was actually bound for Clarksburg, and Fairmont's runway is not rated for the 22,000-pound airplane. The single-wheel weight of the runway is listed at 12,500 pounds. The performance data for the Saab 340 indicates that it needs 3,395 feet to land, or more runway than the 3,194 feet available at Fairmont, but somehow the plane made it down. There's been no word on how the navigational error was made. Even more interesting, though, is how do you get it out of there? Plans are to remove the seats from the airplane and fly it out with less than a full load of fuel using short-field techniques. The departure is planned for the early morning hours when the temperature is lower. According to its website, Silver Airways was formed using the airplanes and other assets of Gulfstream International Airlines based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It currently offers flights to destinations in Florida and the Bahamas, as well as Cleveland, Atlanta, Washington Dulles, Pennsylvania, and Montana. You know, it seems to me there's an awful lot of space to get lost in between the Bahamas and Montana. Well, as the Summer Olympics progress, everyone's been caught up in the chase for gold. But here's one story about one gold medal that truly counts for something. The 302nd Fighter Squadron is now home to a Congressional Gold Medal in Aviation. Tuskegee Airman retired Colonel Charles McGee presented his personal medal to Colonel Brian Radliff, 477th Fighter Group Commander, during the 41st Annual Tuskegee Airmen Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada last week. During World War II, McGee was a member of the 302nd Fighter Squadron. The unit painted the tails of their airplanes red, which led to them becoming known as the Red Tails. The 302nd Fighter Squadron today flies the F-22 Raptor and falls under the 477th Fighter Group. The 477th and 302nd were reactivated at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, Alaska in October of 2007. They became the Air Force Reserve Command's first F-22 Raptor unit and the only Air Force Reserve unit in Alaska. "Finish what I started," said McGee, after shaking hands with a few members of the 477th who attended the convention. McGee holds an Air Force record of 409 fighter combat missions flown in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. McGee, along with other Tuskegee airmen, were presented the medal in 2007 by President George W. Bush for their long-ago heroism. Individual airmen received bronze replicas, while the original gold medal resides at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Now, understand, I don't mean to belittle any Olympians winning of any medal, so please don't send cards and letters. But I also don't know of any Olympian who earned their medal at the risk of their life day in and day out, as the Tuskegee Airmen did. And speaking of medals, to my knowledge, there are none for podcasts like this, but I do hope you recognize that here at ANN, we go for the gold each and every day. You can forward your scorecards to the email addresses found on our website. Well, all except for the Russian judge, of course. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.